You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app. This is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. Thank you for listening, being a part, paying attention. That's the most important thing. You can be a part at 855-752-4842. Got a big hour for you today. Coming up next, the eagerly awaited executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, Nick Ramos, will join us. And specifically, we're going to talk about an ethics complaint, as the General Sentinel points out, and Nick will articulate for us, an ethics complaint against conservative Supreme Court judge. Supreme Court candidate, not justice. Don't say justice. Not yet. Oh, God, no. On Tuesday, arguing he violated the code of ethics for judicial candidates by directly soliciting campaign donations. I believe we have Nick on the line. Are we ready for him?
Hey, I'm ready to rock, Dom. If you're ready to roll, my man.
Hey, Nick, thank you so much for joining us. You can check him out. Nick Ramos from the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Thank you for coming in today, man. We do have the sound. We have some sound of Brad Schimmel. So if you will indulge us, we can let our audience know perhaps some of what the complaint refers to. If you would, please, Jess.
Sure.
I have to invest in knee pads. You know, I have
knee pads.
Invest in knee pads to crawl around begging people. Please, please, please consider getting involved in supporting my race.
Wow. Please, please, please consider getting involved in supporting my race. Play the next one if you would, please, Jeff.
Sure, of course.
I can't, as a judge, I can't ask people directly for money.
I'm a little confused. Nick, what is your big beef with that?
Well, how much time do we have, Dom?
We have much time as you want, man.
Okay. And, you know, I just got to say for the viewers that are watching this at home, you don't get to appreciate this over the radio, but at home, this is the most dressed up I've ever been in Civic Media, which means something. Let me tell you something. I'm in a suit and tie, look like I'm ready to sell Bibles.
You're looking good, man.
You know, I always got to tighten up when I'm in front of the show and here with you guys. But yeah, let's get to it. I mean, look, Supreme Court races here in Wisconsin, I know that they have felt like they're on steroids. I mean, it feels like we have one every year because we pretty much do have one every year. And there's some big distinctions, though, as far as the way that Supreme Court candidates are treated versus your everyday politician, and that the judiciary is supposed to be impartial, fair, supposed to be nonpartisan. And you're hoping that whoever sits on that bench is going to be that objective referee that just sits there, applies the law, applies the Constitution, and makes a rendering and a ruling. But my beef lies with the fact that we have a candidate who is also a sitting judge, who also swore a lawyer's oath, just like I did and other lawyers in this state, going around and talking about how he has to grovel with voters by getting on all fours, being on his knees, and begging them for money. Like, at what point do we get to sit here and say that ain't right? Because there are very clear rules within the Supreme Court rules, the code of conduct for the judiciary, that explicitly say there cannot be even the appearance of impropriety, which means that you can't be showing something that looks like you can't be impartial. And what does that look like to folks when you're over here talking about, I'm going to be in Menards, I got to go up to people, I got to get on my knees, I got to beg for money? And then, you know, you try and then spin it and say, well, you know, I know the rules actually, and technically I'm not supposed to directly ask for money, but I'm going to do what I can to skirt the already broken campaign finance laws that we have on the books. Right. Like, that just smells so bad. And I think that there needs to be accountability held for people that clearly want to try and tap dance over the line and try and take advantage of our campaign finance laws. And like, look, like what he said in the one meeting as far as, well, folks, you can't, you can max out to me, but then you can go to the party or the committee and then they'll send the money to me. He's just stating facts as far as how broken our system is and why we need reform. But this, these comments about going to people directly and begging them for money and all this stuff, that can't be the way that our judiciary is made up. And that's why the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign filed an ethics complaint in front of the Judicial Commission today. And my hope is that an investigation will get launched so that we can just see whether or not, you know, folks are playing by the rules. And at the end of the day, I don't care if you're Republican, Democrat, independent, whatever it is, if you are going to break rules that are clearly law or on the books here, that there should be accountability.
Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salvia Show. That is Nick Ramos. He's the executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, talking about this ethics complaint filed against Brad Schimmel. According to the reporting, Nick, a 9-member commission could choose to dismiss the complaint or authorize an investigation. After an investigation, the commission could dismiss the matter or seek sanctions, which range from reprimand to removal from office. Schimmel's response to the complaint, the campaign has said Schimmel has not made any direct solicitations to any donor. They go on to say this is a desperate attempt to distract from Susan Crawford attempting to sell donors to congressional seats for their support. Your response to the Schimmel campaign's response, Mr. Ramos?
Oy vey. again, like good government groups beyond my organization exist, and we don't get to sit here and play patty cake with any party or any candidate. Or like the whole point is that you're looking at an organization that turns 30 this year that is dedicated to money and politics work. And you decided to, on several occasions, got caught with audio that talk about you in some very interesting lights that come in complete contradiction with what exactly it is to be a judicial candidate and also a sitting judge. Like, folks forget that he's still a judge in Waukesha County. And, like, making those knee pad comments, I mean, I've heard people's, like, their interpretation of what they think that means. Right. And I got to tell you, yeah, like, that is, like, if you're a judge, I got to tell you, you got to be able to answer that. Because, honestly, the visuals are enough to make anybody sit here and be like, wow, you know what, that's problematic. And that at the end of the day, guys, we have higher expectations for our justices because, one, they're 10-year seats. Two, because they're supposed to be fair and not showing us that, like, if you donate X amount of money, that maybe I'll be able to make a case go your way or two. It's like everyday people don't get to just play kingmaker like the way that, you know, you're talking about Menards and some other folks. It's like, guess what? Like, we are so long for a public campaign finance reform bill, and we need it so desperately here.
Yeah, we certainly do. Nick Ramos, executive director from the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. You know, when I heard that, the first thing I thought of, literally, oh, is Menards a sponsor? Like, did Menards give him money? Because he didn't say he got those knee pads at Home Depot or at Ace or, you know, pick your local joint. And I think Menards is pretty much a conservative kind of donor guy.
Oh, absolutely.
To my understanding of the leanings of that owner of that company, which is certainly concerning. But you bring up this other point, stating the facts. And I thought stating the facts is appropriate. And what the facts are in our broken campaign finance laws are, Nick, is that, yeah, you can cap out at like 20 grand to the wannabe Supreme Court justice, but then you can give unlimited donations to a county or a state party, and they can do what they want with it. Now, you're not supposed to technically direct them to where to spend that money, but, you know, whatever. When Brad Schimmel identifies that, he's highlighting the terrible circumstance that we have is essentially unlimited donations to judicial and other state and local candidates.
Doesn't it just kind of feel a little wonky if somebody's like, hey guys, I know that I can't directly solicit money from you, so I'm not going to do that. But what you can do is, and this isn't legal advice, so don't nail me on this, but what you could do is take your $50,000, $100,000, $500,000, $1 million. Don't give it to me because you're going to be breaking the law if you do that. go to the party, go to the campaign, go to the committee. Don't worry. You're not going to worry about that money being lost somewhere over there because they know who to send it to. It's Big Daddy Brad. And it's like, no, man, like that's just like I'll never forget sitting in. I was sitting in some meeting. And again, people just know the rules and they sit there and they're just like, guess what? Like, let's take advantage of them. Let's exploit them and not have any repercussions. And that just can't be the way we move forward. And that's why, like, my organization, especially after April, we're going to be working really hard with lawmakers across the aisle everywhere just to be able to get Republicans, Democrats, everybody in the room. We all know it's an issue. Do you want to be a glorified telemarketer every time you're up for election? Or do you want a real opportunity to actually get rid of some of this big money that's out of here? Like, these seats aren't that, Luke, well, being a Supreme Court justice is, you know, you make a good paycheck, but lawmakers, you can make $55,000. Like, do you really want to have to raise $750,000 every time you're up for election?
Well, like, Nick, but don't forget about the per diems, man. That's where you really make the money.
Oh, you're right. Hey, you know, you ought to go to what, the Dells, go ride some water slides, per diem, man, it maybe kicks in.
Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salvia Show. Nick Ramos, executive director from the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Nick, you're able to sit around. We have just a couple minutes left in the segment. You're good for another segment?
Hey, I dressed up a suit so I can be here all night.
I appreciate that. I think you make the point, and I do think this is something that can cross partisan lines. The money in politics it is ruining us. It is literally ruining us. And I think if we're able to point it out, articulate it, show the damage, and make some effort, I got to think that we can reach across from Democratic sides and even conservative Republicans to make some effort to change that, Nick. To change that, we have to change it. And does that come down to, as in pie in the sky, in just the last 90 seconds we have here, Nick, in this segment, to publicly funded campaigns? I mean, is that the answer? What do you think?
Hey, I mean, we had it. We had it before 2015 here in this state, and it applied to Supreme Court races. We had a system. And my feeling is that we can go back and use the Supreme Court as a perfect example of a statewide election with nonpartisan candidates and be able to implement something that could then be extrapolated to governors, races, lawmakers.
We have to make the effort, and hopefully our friend Nick Ramos, executive director from the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, other organizations will help lead on that. Come back with us. More with Nick Ramos. I want to talk about Brad Schimmel, not just the begging for the donations, getting knee pads from Menards.
Knee pad Brad.
Schimmel the Shill. We got all sorts of names coming out. But he literally went out on last summer and talked about the abortion law being unconstitutional. I mean, that is literally prejudging a case, taking a side. Come back with us. Nick Ramos, 855-752-4842.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Back to the Dominic Salvia Show. Overtime with Maggie Dawn from the Maggie Dawn Show, getting a double dose today. Thank you, Maggie Dawn. Check her show out 2 to 4 p.m. Monday through Friday right here on the Civic Media Radio Network at JSBS. Working hard on the board, 855-752-4842. Get your callers lined up, queued up. A couple of the texters out there. Jim from Brookfield has a question for Maggie. Should Judge Crawford's campaign run an ad informing voters that Brad Schimmel's judicial experience is from a job that he did not even apply for? He was handed the job.
Yeah, you're referring to his appointment as a Waukesha County Circuit Court judge. Listen, a lot of judges get their seats that way. It is very common on both the Democratic and Republican side. I don't think that's Schimmel's greatest weakness. I think his record as attorney general, the fact that he only tested 9 of 6,000-7,000 rape kits and then lied about it. I think the shilling that Schimmel has done, I think the prejudging of cases. I'd be running an ad on the rape kits standing alone with the sound of him lying about it. I'd be running an ad on the 10,000 plus taxpayer dollars he spent on honor coins when he was an attorney general that had an acronym that stood for KAED, kicking butt all day, but using a different word. How stupid, right? I would be running an ad about that literally has the quote from the attorney and judge rules of ethics that state you cannot prejudge cases and the sound of him prejudging a case, that says you cannot solicit funds and donations to your campaign with the sound of him admitting doing exactly the same. He has liabilities that are much greater than how he got his judgeship that he currently holds. But yeah, I think there should be attack ads. Frankly, I think they should be paid for by someone other
than Crawford.
Than Crawford's campaign,
some of those,
too.
Some of those dark money groups.
Yeah.
Go rip on the guy for getting handed.
Aggressive. Be aggressive.
We're aggressive here making the rape kits. I noticed, and I remember the story when he was attorney general, this was a story. And in one of Schimmel's first kind of round of ads, besides him, you know, slow walking, the slow motion walk with the other, with the cops, you know, the very,
oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Besides that, he mentioned like 4,500 rape kits. Like he threw it out there trying to get ahead of knowing that this is going to be an attack and justified attack against his, when he was attorney general of the state of Wisconsin.
The facts are the facts. You didn't get the rape kits done. Period. Full stop. If it was, you know, of 6,000 plus rape kits, you only tested whatever it was. You left thousands of rape kits untested. That is justice gone unserved and unmet by the highest law enforcement officer in the state. Shame on you, Schimmel. Shameful the shill Schimmel. I mean, it's bad. I don't know how this guy thinks he's qualified. I've also seen him in action as both a lawyer and a judge. And I'll just say this. I would rather vote for a conservative jurist who is whip damn smart, who has checked his partisan personal political beliefs at the door, who might not align with me ideologically on all things, but that is a damn fine lawyer with strong ethics and morality who knows that their job is to be objective. That conservative jurist would get a vote for me before I'd vote for Schimmel. He can't do the intellectual weight of the work required of a Supreme Court justice. I know, because I've watched him lawyer stuff. I've watched him judge stuff. Why do you think this is not a smart guy that says this stuff with the tape rolling, right? Like how about you're just not a big dummy and say stupid things on the campaign trail that violate very clear ethical rules for judges and lawyers? How about that as just a baseline standard? He's not even smart enough to avoid that. You're going to trust him with constitutional interpretation of how to remediate PFAS, of deciding your rights. Forget reproductive rights if that ain't your bag. I don't want somebody who's not qualified to tie my shoes as a lawyer deciding the law of this state. Full stop. I'd rather vote for a conservative jurist that's got the chops to do the work and the ethics to stand behind his work than a guy like Brad Schimmel.
That's Maggie Dawn from the Maggie Dawn Show. A little overtime with Maggie Dawn here on the Dom Salvey Show. Check her out 2 to 4 p.m. Monday through Friday on the Civic Media Radio Network. Another texter chimes in here. We got some callers too. Real quick. Pretty much the same thing that Judge Janet did in prejudging cases.
Nope.
Nope. And why?
Nope. To observe facts is not to prejudge a case. To observe the facts of the voting records of Wisconsinites and the disproportionality of the assembly and Senate control at a state governmental level is not prejudging. What she didn't say was, well, we've got these terrible voting records, and that's clearly unconstitutional. She did not apply the law to the facts.
She didn't go dot, dot, dot.
Correct. She did not apply the law to the facts. She didn't reach a legal conclusion. They're completely different. Brad Schimmel said, quote unquote, the 1849 law is fine, and there is no constitutional right to reproductive freedoms under the state constitution. That, my friend, that to the texter is a legal conclusion. Judge Janet never got there.
Never got there. Thank you for that articulation. Maggie Dawn. Cindy from Appleton, you are up. Welcome on with Maggie Dawn. What do you got for us?
Well, I was talking about the ads that they should be running, the Democrats. They're not going to do that. She's not going to do that. And I don't understand why they don't do that kind of stuff. It makes no sense to me.
Being more aggressive, Cindy. I mean, I think there's organizations that will certainly do that. Do you want the judge and her campaign specifically to be that kind of attack dog? I guess that's the question. What do you think?
I don't. I just don't think it's appropriate for the judge's campaign under her campaign umbrella to do that. It needs to that those attack ads that are very pointed should be coming from outside groups, in my opinion. I hate the fact that we have to be talking about outside groups and 501c4s. None of it's good for democracy. But I think Cindy's point writ large is taken well, right? Democrats need to get out there. They need to not hold their gun, keep their powder dry for too long. You got to get out there. You got to tell people how unqualified and unethical and what a partisan hack Schimmel is. It is Schimmel the shameful shill. Heard it here.
Schimmel, the shameful shill.
From the party of assault, battery, and corruption.
Yes!
That is Maggie Dodd. It is Overtime with Maggie Dodd, and we are wrapping it up. Maggie, thank you so much for joining me
the
on
time
the Tuesday.
Flies when we're pushing.
All right, I got a quick one for you, though.
Yeah.
Had some drinks with some friends of mine the other day, and Annalise said, hey, you should go by the Dominic Salvia show instead of the Dom Salvia show. What do you think?
Ooh. Little buddy, I like Dom Salvia.
Oh, okay.
But when you're in deep, deep doo-doo, I'll call you Dominic.
Oh, okay? See, when you want to get yelled at. Thank you, Maggie Dodd. Folks, stick around. More coming up, 855-752-4842. Your calls, your text on the Dom Salvia Show. Stick around. Back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842-855-75-CIVIC. Got Jess P.S. working hard on the board for us. And our pal Earl Ingram joining me today up until the 6 o'clock hour. You can check his show out 8 to 10 a.m. Monday through Friday right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Earl, always fun, man. Let's get to some of the locals, man. We actually have an election coming up April 1st, primary coming up February 18th. There's stuff going on. And of course, this is for the Wisconsin Supreme Court. But our legislators are also hard at work, Earl. And it's interesting to see what the Dems are doing and what the Republicans are doing. So I want to get a couple of things out there, Earl, and I want to get your opinion on it. Daily Beast was reporting from last night. The Democratic lawmakers frustrated with Elon Musk's government takeover, and they're not afraid to show it. Rep Gwen Moore and Judy Chu, reps, barged into House Speaker Mike Johnson's office on Wednesday to confront him about the Musk-led Department of Government efficiency gaining access to the U.S. Treasury Department's federal payment system. The lawmakers forced their way into Johnson's office shortly after Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent arrived to discuss his tax agenda with the speaker. Here's what Gwen Moore wrote on X. I am here to demand, all caps, answers from Speaker Johnson at his meeting with Scott Bessent regarding sensitive taxpayer information being handed over to an unelected billionaire donor. Oh, way to go. And thank you, Gwen Moore, for doing that. You know, any of these Republicans are kind of mad about this action. I would just remind them of January 6th. So if you got problems with people, you know, storming the mound, maybe you should just look at January 6th, man. Also, along these same lines, Rep. Mark Pocan, he is putting out a new piece of legislation. He rolled out the Eliminate Looting Our Nation by Mitigating Unethical State Kleptocracy, which is the acronym is Elon Musk. He came up with the Elon Musk Act. You know, he started with Elon and worked backwards. But we appreciate the efforts by our pal, Congressman Mark Pocan, out of the Madison area. Here's what he said. No government employee that should have any financial interest in who the government does business with. Elon Musk is the poster child for this type of potential abuse. After more than $20 billion in federal contracts, there's no way Musk can be objective in what he's doing. As the Political article says, Musk holds major federal contracts through his companies, including SpaceX and Starlink. And one more I'll throw out there as well. Tammy Baldwin put a piece of legislation out there as well. Found this one on the civicmedia.us/news site. Folks, check that out. One of my go-to now from the Civic Media staff. Baldwin introduces legislation to close a tax loophole pertaining to carried interest that allows some investors to pay less income tax. So fighting for, you know, tax equality, or at least making them pay their fair share, pushing back against this unelected, this Elon Musk and his obvious conflicts of interest. When you got $20 billion in contracts, you're going to have some say and some influence and some ideas on what may or may not happen, probably based on the 20 bill. And then, of course, Gwen Moore standing up for us here in the state of Wisconsin, pushing back. Now, let's contrast that, if we may, with some of the Republicans. Well, what are they doing? Well, they're totally open to Trump's out-of-the-box proposal to take control of Gaza. Yeah, this is so we see the Republicans sycophanting, kneeling behind Donald Trump and his brain-addled idea to, quote, take over Gaza. We're going to take it over. We're going to bulldoze. We're going to build Taj Mahal. There's going to be beautiful. And we're going to displace. We're going to forcibly move the Palestinians to what? Jordan, Egypt, somewhere that don't, I mean, the whole thing. But other than Israel, my understanding, none of our allies and none of our adversaries are down with this program for Trump to develop the Gaza.
Well, let's not even mention the Palestinian people in Gaza who don't want to leave. They don't want to leave their homes.
Well, why would they want to live there, says Trump? Why would they want to do that? Johnson, Ron Johnson, state of Wisconsin. Well, he is full behind it. According to the Journal Sentinel, Johnson said, quote, we need some bold new ideas, suggesting it could be a step away from the path of death and destruction in the Middle East. I appreciate the paradigm shifting out of the box thinking of President Trump. Oh, what a great out of the box thinking. Let's destroy everything. Let's displace the locals and then build a Trump hotel. That sounds like a great idea. What did Trump say during a joint press conference with the Israel Prime Minister Netanyahu at the White House on Tuesday? Trump said Palestinians living in Gaza should be removed from the territory and relocated to neighboring countries due to the widespread destruction from Israel's war with Hamas. He said the U.S. would take control of Gaza. Quote, we'll own it. We'll own it. Adding that the U.S. would be responsible for removing unexploded munitions. Why? Quote, level it out. Create an economic development that will supply unlimited numbers of jobs and housing for the people of the area. He said his goal is to make it the Riviera of the Middle East. Now, apparently, some officials are backpedaling that. Secretary of State Marco Rubio suggested Trump was not proposing a permanent takeover of Gaza and displacement of Palestinians. And the White House press secretary Caroline Leavitt told reporters Trump had not committed to putting troops on the ground in Gaza. Still, Wisconsin Republicans were not among a number of their GOP colleagues who threw cold water on the plan. Oh, hell no. Some top Republicans in Capitol Hill said the plan wasn't feasible and rejected the proposal of spending more money to rebuild the enclave. Johnson, Senator Johnson from Wisconsin, asked about the potential for U.S. military involvement in the region and the cost of rebuilding Gaza, referenced funding already sent to the region, and said, you got to put forward a positive vision. Hopefully it might inspire Gazans to support something other than Hamas. Republican Rep. Derek Van Orden. Well, he's out there too. We'll do everything it takes as a nation to bring peace. He says Donald Trump is our adversaries around the world. Better understand nothing is off the table when it comes to Donald Trump's leadership around the world, period. Now, Van Orden later suggested that he didn't mean he wanted to physically own the territory. That means responsibility. That means projecting peace through strength. So what's the takeaway? And Earl, I want to get your thoughts on the other side. Sorry for taking up the whole time here. The takeaway, Democrats in the state of Wisconsin are working for the citizens of the state. Republicans in the state of Wisconsin are sycophants to Donald Trump's crazy ideas on any given day. We started out talking about Congresswoman Gwen Moore going to Speaker Johnson's office and busting some chops about Elon Musk and his access to all this data, per our most recent caller. Here is what the Journal Sentinel is reporting right now. A staffer for Johnson told the Journal Sentinel that the two Democrats, this being Gwen Moore and California Democratic Judy Hsu, quote, busted into the speaker's office uninvited. They busted in early. They busted in. And they were denied access, though Johnson spoke briefly with both of them afterward. Moore said in a brief interview that she had questions about why information was accessed and what was being done with it. And she took direct aim at Musk. Here is my congresswoman's comment. Here's a billionaire, naturalized citizen that can just walk in the door and tell federal employees to get out of the way and let my people go in and take information. All of us thought that we had more security than that. You want to sell pretzels at the airport? You have to go through a background check. You can't just walk through the gates and do that. Who are these people? Yes, Gwen, thank you for being the voice of reason always. That is exactly the point. Who are these people? Just some breaking news on the storyline. A judge has paused the federal worker buyout offer deadline. According to the Washington Post, the administration had given most of the country's federal employees until 11:59 p.m. tonight to decide whether to resign with pay through the end of September. The federal judge in Massachusetts paused the deadline for the federal workers 2 days after unions representing more than 800,000 federal workers asked the court to halt the program, calling it arbitrary, unlawful, short-fused ultimatum. Now, the judge set another hearing for Monday at 2 p.m. for full argument. So right now that is paused. So there's the update on the Doge and the federal workers and all that jazz. 855-752-4842. Mark from the SAC, you are next. Welcome, Mark. What do you got?
Yeah, it's funny. I'm trying to have a hard time figuring out if this is crystal fascism or Stalinist crystal Stalinism, because Stalin actually had the idea of, you know, if you try to do any science in the old Soviet Union, it had to match up with Soviet socialist thought, and that's what it seems like a lot of the science are going to try to kill, you know, that our government actually works with, you know, scientists to produce and get and disseminate to ourselves in the world, and mm-hmm. it's really scary in a time when diseases can break out.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think these SOBs are going to ignore bird flu, and it's going to take out millions of Americans, and it's just going to be another COVID, and without our cooperation with the CDC and the WHO, we may be well and truly screwed. And forgive me, but I would just hope that Arya Stark could be the sommelier after their next House Frame Missing of Republicans.
Arya Stark. Hello, Game of Thrones reference. Thank you. Thank you, Mark. Appreciate your thoughts. 855-752-4842. Let's get one more caller in this hour. CJ, you're up. Welcome, sir. What do you got for us?
Well, hey, Don, Earl, how you doing?
Good, man.
Thanks for taking my call. You know, as you've seen, USAID has been suspended, and I think that's a terrific thing because the wasted money that they've spent and where money's going.
Isn't that the job of the Congress to dictate, CJ, how that money goes? A president signed that. Let's keep him up. CJ, I got it. A president signed that. The Congress sets the budget, right? Congress controls the purse strings. So if they don't like it, you don't like USAID. I mean, we're working on a budget like in a couple of weeks, right? Isn't this coming up like right now? Why not just then cancel the money for USAID? Why go through this whole rigmarole, man? Do it through the budget.
Well, they haven't written a budget, a balanced budget in over a decade.
Well, the Republicans control the House. Republicans control the Senate. Republicans control the executive branch. Republicans control the U.S. Supreme Court. Well, what are you talking about, man? They can do whatever the hell they want.
Yep, and they are.
But they're not. Why aren't they doing it? Why are you relying on executive order?
$14 million.
What?
$14 million.
For what? Condoms?
To support gender equality for climate change.
Listen, dude. Listen, here's a problem, CJ, and I'll let you respond one more time. I don't believe Jack coming out of these dudes, man. They haven't shown it to me. I don't know. I've heard stories. I heard the lady, the spokesperson for Donald Trump, stand up and say she would never lie to me, and then told me about the $50 million in condoms that were being sent to Gaza. And that story just seemingly went away, CJ. So until there is some sort of evidence, how about you wait until the facts come in and tell me that, man? Do you believe there's $50 million in condoms sent to Gaza? Because that's what your president said.
Well, we listened to 3 years.
See, that's the problem. I mean, thanks for playing 60 Seconds, Earl. What are your thoughts, man?
Well, I think, you know, CJ said it all, man. They're not going to believe. Look, at some point in time, Donald Trump is going to have to govern. And the Republicans are going to have to govern. And they're going to have to grow a pair to govern. Right now, they're afraid to. But there's no way when you got a budget that you've got to craft. You got to govern, Dominic, or your constituents, no matter what Donald Trump says, if you're a Republican or a Democrat, your constituents are going to be after your neck. You can't say, well, Donald Trump did, because the things that he's getting ready to do is going to hurt Republican constituents as well as Democrats.
Folks, the Dom Salvia Show. Come back with us more. Earl Ingram, 855-752-4842.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
To the Dominic Salvia Show. Last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy at the University of Wisconsin at Green Bay, for one final segment. Harvey, thanks for sticking around. You know, we do the tell me something good thing right now. This is just a great idea, and I do love it. So, folks, please participate. I'll start.
Oh,
yeah, I'm going to start. Okay. I'm going to start because I want to ask Harvey some questions after this. But we'll all do our thing, and then we'll continue on. I won my weight bet this month, man. So I'm in a weight bet with a couple other buddies of mine.
What?
A weight bet. So we weigh ourselves.
Uh-huh.
And then at the first of every month, we reweigh ourselves.
Okay.
And whoever lost the most or gained the least, it depends on the situation, is the winner of the bet. And I've been just getting jammed the last couple of months. So I finally won the bet.
Mazel tov.
Yeah. What's that?
Congratulations.
Oh, thank you. Yes. I thought it was a result of. I'm like, result of.
Now I'm worried. Now I'm worried about you.
Fine living, of course.
Finally ditched all the cookies.
Most of them. Yeah. Most more frosted cutouts. So that helps. That helps. All right. You go, Jess.
While I took some time off, 2 days ago, I made a huge batch of chili. This is something that I like to do a couple times a year.
I've had some of that chili.
Yes, you have.
Describe your chili, please.
Okay, so I make a turkey chili with lots and lots of green peppers. I've got jalapenos, serranos, and habaneros for heat.
Whoa.
Lots of beans of many varieties. Always start with kidney beans and garbanzo beans, and then whatever else looks good and interesting. Small mountain of onions, tons of garlic.
Oh, yeah.
And wow. Just let it simmer on the stove for as many hours as possible. And it's just...
That sounds like the richest chili I have ever encountered.
Oh, it's so good.
So good.
It's so good.
It sounds
and
wonderful.
It's a full day's worth of work. It's like 8 hours of chopping and mixing and stirring and tending, but it just helps me put all of my thoughts in order. It helps me feel like I have a little bit of control over something. And there's something very, very therapeutic about using a knife to chop things up into tiny, tiny pieces.
Wow.
For many hours.
It's I have been the lucky recipient of some of that chili, and it is good stuff. So if you have a little one left over, you know, you don't got to freeze. Just bring it over. I'll have some of that.
Yeah, he's hungry. He hasn't been eating for months.
This is what I'm saying, Harvey. Yeah. All right, man. Harvey, you got something good you want to share with the crew?
Mine is trivial, but I have a follow-up if you want something more significant. Mine is trivial. People used to talk about escape into the movies. I don't know if you know that expression. Mm-hmm. Well, I escape into Netflix series.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I mean, there comes that moment where I can't take it anymore. I've got to just tune out. And this past week has seen first the return of in their second season of two of my favorite series. One is Night Agent.
And the other one
is The Recruit. Okay. And I binged on them. But I found out that this week Wild Cards is coming back to CW, and I'm just giving you those names. Mm-hmm. I'm not bragging about my taste. I'm just telling you that to me is escape into the Netflix type series.
Excellent. Good to know. I'm always looking for some escape because I've been watching reruns of Archer for crying out loud. So I need something new. All right, Harvey, just a couple more minutes left. Talk about something good. Every generation, as we were talking about what to do now, and everyone's generation has their struggle, has their way. How do you think this generation is going? What do you see, and what do you define as the age group of this generation that has to step up and have their part?
Well, we all like to say that we've seen a lot of promise in the younger or youngest generation.
I am not a role model, Harvey. Okay.
But I also have to say that I think the failure of the Democrats over these too many years has also contributed to a great deal of cynicism. Mm. So it may be true that there is a sort of current of activism and current of hope that prevails. But I'm concerned that on the grander scale, there's this sort of cynicism that's taken hold. And I just worry about that. But that's not a good thing. Let me give you a good thing.
Yes.
The good thing is that we still have the words of Thomas Paine. And when Martin Luther King Jr. would get depressed about the state of the civil rights movement, he would turn to one quote by Thomas Paine in particular. We have it in our power to begin the world over again. And he garnered hope from that. And I think everyone should keep that in mind. We have it in our power to begin the world over again.
We have it in our power to begin the world over again. Thomas Paine, Harvey K. And every minute of every day, Harvey. I mean, literally. You know what? And if you didn't do it last second or last 10 minutes, you can do it the next 10 minutes. It's an opportunity every second of every day. So I do take heart in that as well. And I always appreciate you coming around, Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy from the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. Folks, stick around. We're going to have Pete Schwabba with Nightlight is coming up next. And we got a big week. I'll be off on Friday of this week. Okay, we got that. Jess is back on the board. And we'll get our normal crews in here. We'll get James Santel rolling in here. I'll see if we can get back to Earl again and hopefully... We're going to have, Matt Rothschild, is he done gambling or is he still bird watching?
We'll find out.
We'll find out. Folks, thank you for listening to the Dom Salvi Show. Have a wonderful evening. Harvey, thank you once again.
I'll plan
on seeing you next Monday, my friend. Just welcome back. Appreciate all your hard work. Hope you had a great time off and I love having you back on the board. And folks, this is the Dom Salvi Show. Stick around. Pete Schwabba coming up next.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.